Gannett stood at the front of the airstrip's briefing room, giving everyone a breakdown of what was known about the mystery drilling platform associated with the Odge's abductors. His hands waved wildly before a mapping display on a notebook computer so wide that Anya could hardly think of it as portable. It gave a big, beautiful picture of the platform from above. The radio nerd had piloted the Zodiac over 20 miles or so of North Sea to the northernmost island of the Orkney group. After the pirate radio crew arrived, they linked up with Anya and Tex, and everyone had spent the night on air mattresses in adjoining dank metal cells at the dockyard.
As you can see here, Claymore Bay is a pretty standard fixed offshore drilling platform. I've prepared a selection of satellite images to give us an idea of its layout and facilities. Here's a night shot.
Even though this information would be vitally useful once they mounted their rescue operation, Anya was having trouble focusing. Coming from a hands-on field, staring at abstract images on a computer screen could put her to sleep in a matter of minutes. The extension Yaja's captors had conceded in their cleverly coded emails was due to run out at sunset. The rescue plan they had formulated called for Anya and Tex to infiltrate Claymore B in the dark, locate her, and then arrange for an extraction. Real-time satellite weather imagery obtained by Gannett, and visible at the lower left-hand corner of his display, showed a nasty, roiling mass of storm, a typical North Sea blow. Despite the clarity of the day, the storm was due to hit the platform about the same time they were. It was a good thing the diminutive pilot was in the airfield office in an adjoining building, getting expansive on venerable whiskey with the aging airplane buffs who ran the strip. Indeed, a small crowd of pilots had gotten wind of the unusual craft's arrival and turned up to look on in awe and be regaled. The coverall-clad airfield girl stuck her head in the door. Without the ball cap, she had blonde hair tied in pigtails and a wide face full of freckles. She really didn't look like Yaja, but her appearance still gave Anya a brief twinge.
Your golf gear's here, Mr. Tex.
Thanks a bundle, Maggie.
Golf gear?
Hey, you never know what I might fancy around, as the Brits would say. Addiction's like that.
The girl slipped into the room, golf bag slung over her shoulder. After leaning it carefully against the wall, she slipped out quietly.
Moving on, here we see another daytime overhead of the platform. Notice here, on the southwest corner of the platform.
Anya squinted. A little white tadpole shape was visible in the middle of a big yellow circle. It hadn't been visible in the previous images. As Gannett zoomed in closer, the unmistakable form of a blue helicopter with white trim emerged.
That looks just like the helicopter that we saw in Italy.
This image was taken this morning.
Shit. Pardon my French.
That would be Merde.
Thanks.
Anya stopped herself just short of blurting that they were attacked. They had not told the Black Bart crew any details of just what they were there to do, and the outfit had not pressed. For all the misconceptions about radio pirates, they really were outlaws and valued discretion.
It's doubtful that that's the same chopper you saw in Italy, Anya. That'd be a long, slow trip.
Gannett clicked again, and the chopper grew to fill the screen. Anya studied it closely.
I'm certain it's the same model at the very least. Same paint scheme, too. Blue with white trim.
Which might mean it belongs to the same people. Or it might not. It looks pretty generic to me.
It's an Augusta Westland A109. Fairly common design, it is. But what we can do is read the registration number off the tail boom. And we can see here that the machine is registered to EP Great Britain, operating out of their Edinburgh facility.
Which pretty much confirms what we know already, doesn't it?
Suggests EP still owns the rig, anyway.
But what would an oil company want with a tapped-out drilling platform?
Well, I can't speak for them, but we find ours right handy for all sorts of illicit activities.
The jarring sounds coming from the airfield's little maintenance shop made the hairs on Anya Creed's nape rise. It wasn't that the noise was unfamiliar, or even that it was something she feared. It was the unexpectedness of hearing it in a setting as tranquil as this that shocked her. The kidnapper's deadline was coming, and the massive storm was not far behind. It was looking more and more likely that the storm would hit Claymore B before Anya and Tex could, and with each passing second, Yaja's survival became less likely. Anya and Tex were ready to risk their lives for the young girl, but if the terrible North Sea swallowed them in its fury, it might as well have her as well. Tex walked up beside Anya, flipped a plastic crate that was sitting face up on the ground, and settled down on top. He took the Stetson from his head, wiped the sweat from his brow, and dropped it back on. He was holding up a black shotgun with a rear pistol grip.
Benelli M4 semi-auto combat shotgun, 12-gauge. Very latest thing in social work. Auto-regulating, gas-operated, two stainless steel self-cleaning pistons. The Marines use them, but they're still good weapons. You think you can handle it?
I've used a shotgun a few times, yes. Never a Benelli, though.
Nothing to it. Loads here, and then you aim through the ghost ring sight. Just the thing for rapid target acquisition. Just point and shoot. Usually, I'd recommend something a little lighter on the recoil for you. Truth to tell, 12-gauge is a bit much for most men to use efficiently. But all your work with that sword of yours gives you a little bit of an edge when it comes to strength, don't you think?
What?
Anya glanced around. Tex had cheerfully chased everyone out of the shop before opening up his long, heavy golf bags. Leo had headed back to the mainland by motorboat taxi to spend the night. Gannett and crew were out admiring their paint job on the ultralight. Tex laid the shotgun on the ground beside him and fished a pair of black auto pistols out of a satchel he'd brought outside with him.
I've got one question. Aren't the Orkney Islands still part of the United Kingdom?
Last I checked.
Don't they have gun control here?
Sure do. Along with a skyrocketing rate of violent home invasions. No connection, I'm sure. Why? Oh, these. Well, they're legal. As for how legal it is for us to have them, well, you know what they say. Don't ask, don't tell. I told you I had contacts.
Whatever you say.
Tex pulled a cloth from the satchel, tossed it on the ground, and laid his guns down on top. It occurred to Anya that she didn't need to know the whole truth anyway. Thinking about it, she probably didn't even want to. He tossed her a cardboard box of 59mm cartridges and poured a cloth bag of empty black magazines onto the rag.
Well, we got an hour or so before our flight leaves for Claymore B. I hope your thumb's up for a workout.
Tex Winston kept his calm despite the overwhelming physical and mental effort it took to keep Ariel, Leo's little plane, airborne in the brutal winds. It was only when she noticed the tightly clenched muscles in Tex's arms that Anya realized just what an exertion controlling the aircraft must have been without power assist on a plane that size.
Dang!
Dang what? Dang does not sound good.
Just lost GPS. Is that lightning bolt?
Lightning can do that?
I don't know. Might just be the storm blocking the signal. One way or another, we're flying by dead reckoning now.
It never occurred to me how ominous that phrase is until just now. Can you find the platform without GPS?
Well, I'd give it the old college try.
What if we miss it in the storm? The rain is like lead curtains at times.
Let me put it this way. Got a hankering to see the Arctic up close and personal?
We can make it all the way to the ice pack?
Shoot, no. I'm just funning you, ma'am. We'll run out of fuel and ditch in the sea long before that. Good news is, it's a short enough hop from Papa Westray to the platform. If we don't see it in the next 5 minutes, we got plenty of leeway to double back and try a quartering search.
What if we still can't find it?
Well, we'll stop being just plain lost and start being well and truly lost.
I love a man who knows how to show a girl a good time.
Well, I aim to please, ma'am.
Marshall sat in a chair, oblivious to the spray the wind lashed against the window of the commissary. A generator-run space heater blasted away, turning a far corner of the room into a localized furnace. He was out of its baleful radiance, but cushioned by layers of clothing, fat, and a genuine indifference to his own comfort, he ignored the chill that inevitably seeped in from the storm outside. Sulin stood by the window as far as possible from his co-leader. His hands were clasped tightly behind the back of his high-collared jacket as he gazed out into the storm. For some reason, both turned and looked at Yaja. The girl sat eating a bar of jerky, tearing at the tough strip with sharp white teeth. She had been semi-covertly admiring Sulin from a distance, almost regretting that Anya Creed would inevitably kill him. Something in her manner seemed to irk Marshall.
Time is running out for you, girl.
It's true that the ultimatum has expired, my friend, but we are to wait for further orders from above before we take any action.
I'm not your friend, pretty boy.
Marshall had spoken without looking at Sulin. His small gray eyes gazed intently at Yaja, who ostentatiously crossed her long bare legs.
Your friends must not really care about you, little girl. Anya Creed has probably gone to ground to protect her own precious hide, but we'll find her and dig her out. We will get those scrolls.
Don't hector her. It's doubtful she knows anything of real use to us or our superiors.
What about what they've read from the scrolls so far?
Presumably all the truly sensational revelations they've come across are contained in what they posted on the net. If they found more, it died with the rest of the dig team.
Sulin glanced over his shoulder at Marshall, a flash of lightning illuminating his beautifully sculpted face in harsh purple-white radiance.
Beware of asking questions that might have dangerous answers, Marshall. If she did happen to know something more, something controversial, would it be healthy for you or for I to hear it? This whole operation is about keeping these things secret.
Are you threatening me?
Don't delude yourself. We are tools purchased by our employers. Will they think twice about discarding us if they deem our usefulness to be at its end?
Shit, Lucy. You figure that anybody leaves this world alive?
That's Lewis.
Yaja rose. She didn't take Marshall's menace particularly seriously. He was certainly sadistic, but Yaja was the star of this adventure. She knew that she would be the heroine of this saga, and the heroine never dies. Without a word, she walked from the room. Glancing out the port side of the wraparound canopy, Anya saw a great gray monster of a wave crest by their tiny aircraft, nearly at eye level. She understood that the ocean's surface effect would hide them from the radar rig Gannett's satellite imaging had detected on Claymore B, but the sight of those menacing waves filled her with terror. The North Sea was not known for its mercies. It took all her will to control the fear, but she did. She held on to self and tried to focus. Looking over to her right, Anya saw Tex's face slick with sweat despite the chill in the barely insulated aircraft. His shoulders were hunched with effort, and his muscles were straining from fighting the yoke. Though his brow was folded in intense concentration, his eyes and mouth smiled as if he were having the time of his life.
Why are you helping me, Tex? Tex? Tex?
The man was ignoring her. This surprised her, since, in their brief acquaintance, she had never once seen him do that. He was always thoughtful and analytical, even during the downtimes. She'd seen it just that afternoon as they planned their quixotic two-person aerial assault on the oil platform. In the crunch, when called upon, he never seemed to ignore, hesitate, or fail to act instinctively and as the situation demanded. She couldn't fathom why he would refuse to answer her now.
Can't resist a pretty face?
Don't blow me off now, Tex.
You're right. You deserve a straight answer. When I was a kid, I did some things. They may or may not have been illegal. You might even say I had official status to do them. I told myself they couldn't be wrong if duly constituted authority told me to do them. That they must have been for a greater good. Later on, I found out the things I'd been told, the things I told myself, were mostly lies. I watched my buddies die for them. And you know, my real reason for all of it was that I was a stupid, self-centered kid who thought he'd live forever. Doing what they told gave me a dirty, dangerous thrill like nothing else.
That's why you're doing this? For the thrill?
Maybe. I've been chasing thrills ever since. Even though they're all pretty feeble imitations of the things I used to do. But now I feel like I got a chance to make up for it. I'm grateful for a chance to do something real. Something I know is right. Damn, Anya, it's just a little girl out there.
Just then, Anya's right arm shot forward past his shoulder.
Over there!
A single light glowed in the darkness like a white eye. It was just a few degrees away from dead ahead.
Now comes the fun part.
He climbed a few scant yards to give them clearance from the thousand sucking mouths of the sea. He knew the plane would lose lift in a turn, and that could be enough to finish the game before it started. He leveled out to regain speed, then banked the ultralight hard to the left. The craft turned wide, far past the platform and out into the open sea.
What are you doing? If we lose it now, we may not be able to find it again until after the storm.
Trust me,